This is the AV15, a production of the Atlantic Voice podcast. If you've got a quarter of an hour for us, then we've got 15 minutes for you. So grab your skinny, venti, double-whip mocha, your cup of tea with milk and two sugars, or something with bubbles if that's your fancy, and spend the next 15 minutes with us here at the Atlantic Voice. This is the AV15. I'm on Skype with a good friend of the show, Megan. Megan is a tough mudder. Megan, tell us, what is tough mudding?
So tough mudding is basically an obstacle race. So it's the same kind of thing, more along the lines of your half marathons, your 5K, 10K races, but there's a lot of mud thrown in and there's a bunch of really fun obstacles.
Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I've just come in from a bicycle ride. It's 90 degrees outside. This is more information than the listeners really want, but I'm sitting here and I'm hot and sweating. But for some reason, something tells me that tough mudding is a bit more taxing than riding a bike for half an hour.
It is, and it definitely depends, like, where in, you know, the U.S., or now they have them. They're starting to get them into other countries, too. But it depends on your terrain. That can make it harder, easier. I just did one over this past weekend that was at a ski resort. So the first 3 miles, we were literally just going straight uphill on their Black Diamond course. But I did one that was 8 miles, so it was longer than the one I did over the weekend, but it was all flat ground, so it seemed a lot easier. So it depends, you know, where you are kind of makes it harder or easier on you.
So, you know, you say it's an obstacle course. So define that for some of our listeners that might think you're just going for a run in the woods. I mean, are we talking about those, like, obstacle courses that that the Marines do where they're jumping over stuff and that type of thing?
Some of it's a little bit of that. So some of it is... It actually, the guy that originally started Tough Mudder, he was part of British Special Forces. So a lot of the obstacles, the man-made obstacles, are from his training and what he did. So some of it is you're climbing over, you know, 12 to 15 foot walls, and you have to use your teammates and other people around you to help get you up and over, or you're jumping over a giant mud pit, those kind of things. You're crawling under barbed wire. That's a favorite for everyone that usually does the races. But they also get creative with the land wherever you are. So sometimes, you know, the one I did before, it had a lot of hills. So hills were some of the obstacles. Or another one that I did was at a horse racing arena. So all the little horse jumps, they had us jumping over that. So they kind of do it. Some of it's based on military stuff, and some of it's just kind of whatever they can think of to kind of get creative and get people doing stuff.
So it could be anything from wading through a pond to sort of walking along like sort of a rope bridge or anything like that. I mean, is it really very much down to whoever sets up the course?
It really is. And then it varies. I mean, they give you before, a couple weeks before the race, they'll tell you online guaranteed obstacles that you're going to have. Like some of the races, you always know you're going to get the same 5 obstacles just because they're the ones that everyone looks for, and it kind of gives Tough Mudder their name. Like Mount Everest is one that's guaranteed to be at all of them, and that's a half pipe ramp that they grease, and Ooh. You have to run up it and jump, and, you know, usually a couple of guys can do it on their own. Some girls can, but that's usually one where you definitely have to have your teammates helping to pull you up. And then other ones, you know, it's just kind of go at your own kind of thing.
What are some of the other sort of, you said there are 5 sort of must have or 5 essential obstacles. What are some of the other ones?
Kiss of Mud is always one that they have, and that's the one where you're crawling under barbed wire.
Okay.
And that's usually, I've done some races where, you know, it's maybe 10 feet of that. I've done some where it's 30 to 40 feet of it, and you feel like you're crawling forever. And those can get interesting because you're either crawling through really soft mud and it's not that bad. Some courses have a bunch of rocks and stuff, so you kind of have to get creative with how you're crawling through. And that's usually the one that gives people the most bruises and scrapes on their bodies. But, you know, you're going through it and you're having so much fun, you're not really realizing that you're getting banged up at the time.
You know, I've kissed a few people in my time, but I've never been banged up after it.
Yeah.
Ta-dam. Now, so even though you know that some of these obstacles are going to be in it, I mean, how can you practice? I mean, you know, you can't really set up a greased ramp in your kitchen, or do you? I mean, how do you practice these things?
The biggest thing, and what I always tell people, because, you know, trying to get friends to do it, especially, it's getting easier now that the mud runs have been going on for so long and people kind of have a better idea of what they are. But people always tell me, like, well, how do you train for it? How do you know what to expect? And you never really know exactly what's going to be coming at you obstacle wise, but your endurance and your physical fitness kind of, you can, you know, modify that and change that as much. So I tell everyone, as long as you can run 5 miles and feel okay at the end of it, you're fine. Like I can't do a pull up to save my life. I can barely do a push up, but I can run 5 miles and I have, you know, an easy enough time doing it. I'm not saying that the races are easy. I definitely need help from my teammates at sometimes, but you know, it's one of those things where it's go at your own pace. They're not, you know, you're not trying to break any world records or things like that. There's specific races where you can do that if that's what you want to do. But most of these are just kind of have fun and go out and do it and see what you can push yourself to do.
Now you've mentioned a couple of times that your teammates help you. So this is I don't want to say compete, but you participate as a team, or do you participate as just you, Megan?
They really, really push the team participation. So there's a couple people that are crazy enough to do it on their own, but whenever I sign up, I always have at least two other people that are doing it with me. But ideally you want like a team of at least 5 to 10 people, because it makes it so much easier to get through some of the obstacles, especially ones where you're climbing over things and you might need someone to kind of give you a boost and help push you up. But one of the Tough Mudder's biggest thing is, this is not a race. This is, you know, just I'm doing this with my team and no teammate left behind kind of thing. And I've actually met a lot of really good friends that I now have because of these races, because there are people that, you know, maybe they signed up by themselves because they couldn't get any of their friends to do it, or they were just a team of two and they partnered up with my team. So you end up meeting a lot of people along the way. And that's kind of the really cool thing about it, is the camaraderie between everyone. And you know, you see someone struggling and you might not know them, and you help them up and over something. It's fun.
I don't know. I'm a bit bashful. I don't want to get involved in a group kiss of mud with a stranger. So now, what made you get into tough mudding? Because it is, obviously, it's quite a new sport. How did you find out about it? And then what made you decide, yep, I'm going to give that a go? Because it's pretty intense.
It is. Yeah, it's definitely, it's different than most things I've done before. So growing up throughout like high school and college, I'd always done little mini races like 5Ks, 10Ks. I'd never done anything more than a 10K. And I was actually on Facebook one day, and it was when Facebook first started putting little advertisements on the side, and I kept seeing all these things for mud runs and this and that. And I would click on the picture sometimes, like, oh, that looks cool. Like, I think I'd like to try that, just because I liked running, but it was getting boring because, yeah, you know, you pretty much, you know what to expect, start to finish, you're running along. Maybe you see something cool, but you're not really doing anything. And for the most part, running, it's not really a group activity. You just kind of go out and you do it on your own. And it's very much about how fast you can do it and your time and all that kind of stuff. And I just wanted to do something a little different that was fun. So one of my friends actually was the first one to sign up for Tough Mudder because her sister really wanted to do it. So I saw that she was signing up and I was like, hey, would you care if I joined your team? And so we signed up, and then before we even did that one, we signed up for another one because we were just so excited about doing them. So we signed up for two different types of races. And I, you know, you have to sign up pretty early on in advance because they are a little bit pricey, but it goes, you know, it's cheap in the beginning, and then the longer you wait, the higher it goes in price. Sure. So we signed up really early, and I was like so excited. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're getting closer and closer to the date of the first one. And I was like, what have I gotten myself into? I can't believe I'm going to go do this, because I ran my first half marathon and that kicked my butt pretty well. And I thought, you know, this is going to be the same distance plus obstacles. So I was definitely scared the night before the race.
So talk to me a little bit then, you know, you pull up to the race, you get out, you've probably had a can of Coke and a Snickers bar for breakfast, at least I would if I was a tough mudder. What then happens? You get out of the car, you've got your sneakers on, you know, you're stretching, you're loosening up. I mean, does everyone go at once? Is it like those triathlons where everyone's running into the water at once, or do groups go off at a time? Or
Yeah, they do it based on groups, just because if they had everyone go off at once, it'd be craziness. But they do 15-minute intervals. So okay, when you sign up for either morning, midday, or afternoon. And then once they have everyone kind of in where they are, they place you in a specific heat based on like how many people are in your team and all that kind of stuff. So there's usually anywhere between 50 to 75 people per 15-minute heat. Sometimes more if if they can accommodate that. But for the most part, they try to keep the heats pretty small. And so you basically, you show up, you go to registration, you sign your death waiver saying that, you know, you won't
hold on, a death waiver?
Yeah, and that's Tough Mudder's biggest thing is they're always, you know, they even have signs throughout the race that say, remember you signed
a death. Remember not to die.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, and that's their thing too, you know, they want you to have fun with it. Don't try to be crazy and, you know, Mr. Heroic and all that kind of stuff.
Because it can be dangerous. I mean, obviously it can be.
Oh, yeah,
definitely. Can be dangerous if you're mucking about, like, in, you know, in the water and stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, you're guaranteed to get some bruises and some scrapes. There have been cases where, you know, people have broken bones and things like that. Tough Mudder recently, this past April, had their first ever death, but that was a complete fluke where this guy, you know, the water was really, really cold. And I think this guy may have been pushing himself a little too much. I'm not really sure, but his heart failed when he hit the water because of the shock to his body. So, and that's, you know, first ever in their history of doing the race. And for 3 years now, they've been doing it, and they do, gosh, easily 25 a year, probably more now. But, you know, you show up, you register, you sign your waiver and all that kind of stuff. And then you basically wait around for your start time to come. So they'll call you, and then they always have an MC of the race, and he corrals everyone into the corral and starts pumping everyone up. And you just, it's a lot of hype at the beginning of the start line, and everyone's really, really excited. And then, you know, they either have an air horn or a gun or something like that. So that goes off and everyone starts going. And for the Tough Mudder, they have all this orange smoke that they have going on at the start line. So you run through that and it's just a huge adrenaline rush at the beginning. And then you usually hit your first obstacle and it's like, oh my gosh. They try to make the first one something
kind of easy.
Fairly easy. Yeah, that everyone can do. Or, you know, I mean, easy in the sense that it's not too physically taxing. Like the first obstacle at the Tough Mudder I did was what they call the Arctic Enema.
And it's
it's a lot. It's really easy to do, but it's very difficult on your body. So it's a big
as Arctic enemas are prone to do.
Yeah, so it's a big dumpster basically that they line with a tarp, and then they fill it with water and a ton of ice. They just constantly are dumping. Like they have a dump truck there that's just constantly dumping ice into this thing all day long.
Okay.
And so you climb up a ladder to the top part of the dumpster and you just jump in. And then they have a wooden board in the middle, so it forces you to dive under. But man, you hit that water and it is the coldest thing. Like your body just immediately tenses up and you have to swim as fast as you can to the other side before you start, you know, getting hypothermia pretty much. That one, you know, it's one of those ones where it kind of shocks you, but it gets you excited for all the rest of the obstacles.
But obviously it's one that everyone can complete. I mean, you don't want it to be like the little kid in gym who won't jump over the horse and everyone's lined up behind him and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question then, to just go back a little bit, and I don't want to make light of it, but I do want to sort of ask, you know, you talk about signing the death waiver and all this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you've said there that when the event starts, you know, your adrenaline's pumping and people getting you fired up and then you're running through the freezing cold water. Do you feel like you're doing something dangerous? Is that part of the attraction, or is it just, it just happens to be something that can be dangerous, but you yourself are like, no, I'm doing the obstacle course. Do you know what I mean? Like some people get into skydiving because they want to sort of confront that moment of, do you know what I mean? Or is it just much more like an activity, like going for a run?
No, I definitely, when I first started doing them, probably why I still do them, is there is a little bit of that kind of overcoming fears a little bit where, you know, like, okay, this is sort of dangerous. Like, you know, there's the potential for injury and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, it is meant to be fun and it is meant to just basically, you know, overcome both physical challenges and mental challenges. So for me, a lot of the obstacles were related to heights and I'm completely terrified of heights. So when I did mine, my biggest thing was I want to overcome my fear of heights and definitely push myself on those obstacles. But at the same time, Tough Mudder does say, you know, you don't have to do an obstacle. There's nothing that they force you to do. There's no point where they say, if you don't complete this, you're out, you're done. And there are, I mean, there's plenty of obstacles that I skip just because I'm not there yet.
Okay.
You know, and it's one of those things where I've done, you know, more than one now. And there's been times where I've done obstacles and then other times I skip them just because I don't feel like I'm physically ready for it or something like that. It kind of, as long as you're the type of person where you know your body and you know how to approach each obstacle that you go at, then you're fine and you can have a ton of fun with it. I think it's the people that get carried away and they want to be the best and, you know, go as fast as they possibly can that find themselves, you know, with a sprained ankle at the end of the race.
Let me ask you a question. What sort of things do you do to train? Do you, I mean, obviously, yeah, we made light earlier about there are certain obstacles that show up. But on, you know, for example, you've got, you know, you get home from work, you have a tough mudder coming up in 2 weeks. You know, what sort of things will you say to yourself, you know, what I need to go and lift weights for an hour, I go need to go and run 10 miles. What, give me an idea of the sort of things that you do to get into shape. Or is it a more sort of a general fitness?
I'd say primarily general fitness. The biggest thing I do is I'll go anywhere from a 3 to a 10 mile run, depending on, you know, the day of the week and how long the race is that I'm training for. So Tough Mudder, for the most part, is anywhere between 8 to 12 miles. So I'll make sure I'm definitely, you know, I can run at least 12 miles and feel all right. So that way, if it's an 8 mile course, I'll feel great by the end of it. And then, like you said, the lifting weights thing. So a lot of what you do, you know, it's primarily pulling your own body weight up and over things. So okay. I'll do things like try to do some push-ups, you know, attempt like hanging on a bar since I'm not quite at the pull-up stage yet, but doing that kind of stuff. And then, you know, lifting just heavy weights. So lifting, you know, kind of alternative things to what you might find in a gym. So I'll do some stuff like I've got a big tire. I'll practice kind of flipping that because sometimes that's even an obstacle is tire flipping.
Okay.
So, but you know, if I'm in a gym setting, then I'll do lifting weights and just making sure that I'm keeping my muscles in the right kind of condition to kind of do whatever's thrown at you, because you really don't have any idea for the most part every single obstacle that's going to come your way. But Tough Mudder also has on their website, they have a little Tough Mudder training blog, and it basically gives you beginner, intermediate, and advanced. And it's a circuit that you do, and they recommend doing it 3 to 5 times a week, but it's got a bunch of different things. So it'll be things like burpees or pull-ups or lunges, you know, things that you can definitely do around your house. You don't have to, you know, join a gym or anything like that to do it.
What do you think, what are your personal goals? Obviously, this is something you've been doing for a while. You enjoy doing it. Do you have a personal goal that you're trying to attain? Like, is there a time or is there an obstacle out there that one day I'm going to do the whatever? You know what? It, you know, in the next, you know, in the foreseeable future, what are your personal goals from Tough Mudding?
I would say it would be able to. Tough Mudder has this thing called World's Toughest Mudder.
Okay.
And it's the cumulative. And this one actually is a race. So it's the only one that they do in the year where they actually consider it a race. And what it is it's at the very end of the year. It's usually in the middle to end of November. And it's a big course. So last year's race, it was a 10-mile course. And it's all the, you know, favorite obstacles, plus they'll throw in 3 to 4 new ones that they're testing for whatever the next year is for obstacles that they want to throw in it. But it's 24 hours long. And you basically have 24 hours to complete as many laps of the race as or of the course as you can. So you have to do every obstacle. You don't get the option of skipping it. And it's pretty much, you know, you got to be able to do it. But in order to get into it, even in the first place, you have to finish within the top 5% of the Tough Mudder that you've done previously. So let's say you do, you know, the Virginia Tough Mudder.
Okay.
And you have to time yourself during that thing, and then you send in your time to Tough Mudder, and if they determine that you are in the top 5% of the people that participated, you then get a bid to join and sign up for World's Toughest Mudder. So ideally, you know, that's kind of a two-part goal. So first I have to be able to do all of the obstacles in a single Tough Mudder, and for right now, the 15-foot walls I still haven't conquered yet just because it's a little too high for me on a very, very thin platform. And then the Mount Everest that I was talking about, I haven't been able to get up and over that one yet. So those two I want to conquer first, and then getting into the top 5% of heat. And then I want to at least be able to do the World's Toughest one. So I might not be, you know, the girl that won it last year did the course 9 times in 24 hours. So that's 90 miles plus obstacles in freezing cold weather.
I've met her, you know, muddiest kisser ever.
Yeah, I doubt I'll ever, you know, get to that level. But I think it'd be cool to just say that I got to do it at least once.
All right. In a moment, I'll have an exit question for you. But for anyone listening, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to post some links up on the blog. I'm going to get Megan to send me some stuff, and we'll post up on the blog, you know, the Tough Mudding website and anything else that Megan would recommend for anyone looking to get into it. Obviously, it goes without saying that you endorse it as an activity. I mean, you love it, right?
Definitely, definitely.
So my exit question for you is, you talked about a couple of obstacles that you want to conquer, for want of a better word. Of the ones you have done, what's the toughest one and the one that you are most proudest that, yeah, I did the whatever jump or whatever it may be?
It actually was a jump obstacle. It's called Walk the Plank.
Okay.
And it's a 25-foot high platform, basically. The platform's 3 feet wide. And so they have, it's all made out of wood, and there's a slanted, I guess you could call it a ladder, but not really. There's only two rungs on it. So you kind of have to have someone help push you up to get up to the top of this thing. But you get to the top of it, and it's only 3 foot wide. And from the bottom, it does not look that high. But once you get up there and you look down, it's basically like jumping off that high dive at a pool. And for me, you know, being afraid of heights, I get up there and I froze. But they've got all these Marine guys up there that are counting, you know, 1, 2, 3, jump, and you just have to go. And so I got up there and, you know, for 2 seconds contemplated going right back down the way I came. But I was like, nope, you know what? I'm up here. I'm just going to do it. And I jumped, and I remember felt like I was falling forever. But as soon as I came up out of the water, I was like, that was the coolest thing I've ever done. It just felt awesome to have done it.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Anyway, folks, listeners, I will go ahead and throw some stuff up on the blog. Megan, I'm going to ask you to stay on the line once we've finished here, because Megan stays on the line because she needs to. I need to get her details to send her Atlantic Voice. I was on the AV15 mug. So for any of you listeners out there that have a story to tell, please contact us, because we want to have you on the AV15. But everyone, this was Megan. She's a Tough Mudder. Megan, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
This has been the AV15, a production of the Atlantic Voice podcast. If you'd like to be on the AV15, please send us an email at atlanticvoice@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice, and all our episodes, whether it be the AV15 or the podcast itself, can be found on iTunes. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.